When is the last time you took public transportation? When the pandemic first came, subway and bus systems cut back their schedules dramatically in places like DC, New York, Boston. This year, more people returned to riding, but now, Omicron. Seth Kaplan is on board to give us the latest on who is riding where. He's here now, transportation analyst. And Seth, where has metro ridership, subways, buses, light rail, come back in a big way?
Well, of the three that you mentioned, buses have tended to come back more, and that's related to a broader trend, Scott. And that trend is that the biggest cities are the places where ridership is still the lowest percentage as a percentage of where pre-pandemic ridership was. And that, in turn, Scott, is related to something else, and it's just kind of who is riding because they have to be at work and because they have no other way to get around versus who has more choices, specifically essential workers who might not even own cars or people who are back on public transportation in greater numbers than office workers who might be working remotely or might have another way to get around.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned people who might not be returning. Do we have numbers on that? That is, people who are not returning, who I guess have the privilege to work from home?
Yeah. So when you look at different public transportation systems around the country, Scott, looking at data from APTA, American Public Transportation Association, it's the big city systems. You know, San Francisco is one that sticks out, where the BART system, Bay Area Rapid Transit, is still at less than 20% as of the most recent data they have, third quarter of last year, of pre-pandemic levels. Whereas if you look at, let's say, West Palm Beach, Florida, the system there is back to about two-thirds of pre-pandemic levels. That's the kind of place where most of the people riding transit tend to be the, what you call the transit-dependent people, people who might not own cars, might not have driver's licenses, versus places where you have more of those remote workers who are also the same people who might also own cars. And if there's not that much traffic, or if they don't want to be on public transportation because of the virus, you know, they have another way to get around. New York Times recently did a story, even within New York City, looking at subway stations in places where you have more blue-collar workers who have to be at work. Those stations, the platforms are crowded once again, getting back to pre-pandemic levels, whereas downtown, Wall Street, so forth, is still a shadow of its former self.
Yeah. And finally, just kind of looking forward, if flexible work is here to stay in some version, and that means some people may quit public transportation for good, what's that going to mean for revenue for public transportation?
Well, just the fact that you're asking the question, Scott, you can kind of guess the answer. The answer is not good. And the problem is that these systems are what you call fixed cost organizations, largely. And what that means in any industry is that the cost to operate them isn't closely related to how many people are using the system. Right. So there are some industries where, you know, if people are buying a lot less of whatever it is that you're selling, at least it costs less to run the business. Whereas with public transportation, it costs just about as much to run that subway, to run that bus, to run that light rail train, even if nobody's on it. And so these systems have gotten through the pandemic with a lot of federal aid to help make up for that revenue gap. But over the long term, if ridership levels are a lot lower than they once were, there are people worried about what you call a death spiral. Not there yet, but where a vicious cycle of not enough money and then worse service and then that hurts ridership.
Seth Kaplan here, now transportation analyst. Seth, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.